men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
One of you that have made that time to be in service this evening, glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you welcome your neighbor to your left and to your right? Okay, this evening we're going to be talking. I want to admonish us. I want to pick up from where we started on Sunday. I want you to know that we have been moved from darkness to light. We have been translated from religion to relationship. And as a result of that, there are a number of things we must be very, very much inclined to. And that's the burden for this series. And I want us to please pay a great deal of attention and trust that God will help us. Glory to God. Let's turn again to Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Luke 14, verse 28. Scripture made us to understand. Let's all turn there. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And so, Lord, we ask that you will bless your word in our hearts. Bring understanding to our spirit. Move us from a state of stagnation to a state of progress. Thank you, Father. Let your word bless us. Speak to us in simplicity. Speak to us in clarity. I ask that everyone that will listen to this teaching will not only be instructed, but they will also be edified. They will not only receive information, but they will put it into actions. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We trust that Jesus will be glorified and every saint will be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Structuring your life for progress, part 2. Structuring your life for progress. I spent time last Sunday talking about progress. Everything created by God was designed to make progress. Everything created by God was designed to move forward. If you check Genesis chapter 1, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. If you read verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said, and the Lord, and God, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the herb that yield seed according to its kind." Did you see that? "And the tree that yields fruit." "According to its kind, whose seed is in itself." He said, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed." Tell your neighbor, yield. I didn't hear you. Tell your neighbor, yield. Now, everything God gave life, God gave yield. So write it down. There is, you see, you shouldn't be a believer, you shouldn't be born again, and you are not making progress in life. It is not the will of God. Are we together? You must settle it in your heart that, see, it is not the will of God for you to do something and it does not, or it's not producing results. Barrenness is not the will of God. He said, "If thy beginning be small, thy later end should what? Greatly increase." I want you to understand the divine permutations or the divine algorithm for progress. You must settle in your heart that God does not like it when you are doing something and it's not yielding. That's what I wanted to settle in your heart. You should be the kind of believer that looks at your life and like, this aspect of my life is not going forward. It's the will of God for every aspect of your life to go forward. NIV, 3 John verse 2. NIV. Z, 3 John verse 2. He said, verse 2. He said, "I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you." How many? How many? All. 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 As a believer, you are running a boutique. It is the will of God for it to what? Increase. To go well. As a believer, you are running a school. It is the will of God for it to what? To go well. As a believer, you have a catering business. As a believer, it is the will of God for it to what? Go well. It is never the will of God for anything to die in your hands. Write it boldly on your notes. It is not God's will for anything in my life to die. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Any kind of godliness that exempts you from yield, it is not godliness. Check your life. If the only thing that is increasing in your life is your age, another aspect of your life is not increasing, it is not the will of God. Sit yourself down and ask yourself, is it really the God of the Bible that you are serving? Are we together? Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Whatever you see in the Bible is intentionally placed there. He said, "And the child, Jesus, grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God and all the people. Everybody say he grew. I didn't hear you say he grew. Now, I've established that. Number two, inasmuch as it is the will of God for whatever you do to grow, whatever you do to yield, the responsibility for that growth is not in God, is in you. That's the part I want to talk about tonight. Are we following? Inasmuch as we have established that it's the will of God for anything you are doing to yield, to grow, to prosper, to flourish, but that growth is not God's responsibility. Pick up your Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Now, verse 5. My prayer is that God will open our eyes to take responsibility. This scripture is very profound. Verse 5. Give it to us in New King James. He said, before any plant. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, God had already said they should what? They should yield. Am I correct? God have already said they should produce their kind. But the Bible now said that before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. Okay, let's start from verse 4 so that we would put it together. Verse 4. He said, this is the history of heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord had made the earth and the heaven. Is that okay? Before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth. Why? Why? I'm not hearing you. Why? It means it is the will of God for you to prosper, but the dimension of the prosperity is your responsibility. Write it down. Do you understand what I just said? Every one of us, if you start a business, you're running a business and you only have one branch. If you want to have 1,000 branch, God already willed it for you. Are we together? Are you following what I'm saying? Are you understanding what we are saying? I think you understand what I'm saying. If you are running a canteen and you want that canteen to be present in every city in Nigeria, God has willed it to you. Do you understand? The truth is this. The algorithm for yield is that God already gave you the capacity to what? To yield. But the expanse, the width, is that okay? The largeness is not on God, it's on you. Tell anybody it's on you. I didn't hear what you are. You're not responding. Tell anybody it's on you. It's your decision. If you decide that, okay, you want the prosperity of God for your life, you want it to just be a kiosk in front of your house. It's on you. Tell anybody it's on you. Let's check a verse of scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 2. Deslobedish kaledosu predishiete. He said, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them what? Stretch out. He said, and let them stretch out. I mean, the cuttings of your dwellings. Do not spare. Strengthen your cord and strengthen your stake. Give it to us in NLT. The two verses. He said, enlarge your house. Build what? You understand? I mean, God had to tell them. God said, enlarge it. Tell neighbor, enlarge it. He said, I like the other part. He said, build an addition. He didn't say, I will build an addition. He said, you do what? Build an addition. Listen, there is something I understand about God. If you enlarge, God will enlarge. That's why we are talking about structuring. Are we together? You remember when we are Tomade? Place was small. We said, let's get a bigger place. We came here and it looks like this place is big, isn't it? And now we have service that the place is what? It's becoming tight again. Do you understand? I mean, last Sunday, before this previous Sunday, we had over 260 something people in church. And the place was, everywhere was filled. If we leave this place now and say, okay, let's go and get an auditorium that can seat 500 people at a time or 1,000 people at a time, what will happen to it? It will be filled. That's how it works. So the reason why your life looks small right now is because that's what your mind can what? Can carry. That's how it works. And that's why we are talking about what? Structuring. See what Jesus said in John 10 verse 10. We'll check that and then we'll come back to... There's another verse I would like us to see. It came to my heart, but it's left again. He said, the thief... It's only the thief that comes to steal and destroy. He said, but my purpose is to give them a what? A rich and satisfying life. That's why Jesus came. Is that okay? That's why Jesus... So there was no yield on the earth. Why? Because there was no man to take what? Responsibility. So write it boldly in your notes. Learning to take responsibility is what we call structuring for progress. You have to learn to take responsibility. There's something that happened in 2 Kings. Second Kings chapter 6. We'll come back to Isaiah 54. But let's check 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 1. Now one day, the groups of prophets came to Elijah and told him, he said, as you can see, this place where we meet with you is what? Is what? Is what? Now, he said, next verse, he said, let us go. Now, that let us is responsibility. So, your business right now can be bigger than it is right now. But let me tell you this. The difference between the size of your life currently and the size of your life in the future is the structure you put in place. This thing does not respond to chanting or respond to prayers. Does not respond to waking up in the morning and doing all the gymnastics. Are we together? Listen, let me tell you something, believers. Raise your head. Let me tell you the truth. Just take this from me. If somebody is prospering in life, in ministry, in marriage, in finance, in any aspect of life more than you, defeat that mindset that tells you it's because he prays better than you. No. Defeat it. You will not prosper more. See that, don't worry. You will not prosper more tomorrow because you increase your prayers. Let me tell you the difference. Two things. Number one, that person is doing better more than you because one, he knows better. And two, is taking better responsibility. Are you following me? He knows what? He knows better than you. These are the two secrets to greatness in life. Are you here? Tell your neighbor. The secret is number one. He knows better than you. He has some information that you don't have. And then number two, is taking some responsibilities that you are not what? You are not taking. That's the truth. That's the truth. Two believers can start ministry the same day, get laid upon by the same man of God, but their ministry will not produce the same result after the same number of years. The secret is this. Let me tell you this. You know, a lot of us are very religious people, so that's why I'm sounding the way I'm sounding. A lot of us believe so much in the power. I believe in the power of prayers. I believe in the power of prayers. But let me tell you this. If you pray, for example, for your church to increase, and you don't go out for evangelism, you don't train your members on how to invite their friends, families to church, you don't train them on how to witness, what will happen to your church? It will remain the same. Why? Genesis 2 verse 5. God didn't allow the rain because there were no structures in place. Now, this is what it means. If KDC will enlarge bigger than this, there is only one responsibility that I and the other pastors have. Put more structures. That's just it. That's what Genesis chapter 2 verse 5 was saying. He said, because there was no people to what? To cultivate the soil. Now why? There is yield in the soil. But that yield will just be wasting if there are no structure to what? To manage it. So Isaiah 54 verse 2 now, he now said, okay, if you want to manage the increase, this is what you want to do. Number one, make room for enlargement. He said, spread out. I like that part. He said, build an addition. Now write this down. Responsibility without intentionality will lead to futility. Responsibility without intentionality will lead to what? Futility. In other words, you will not see yield if you are only busy, but you are not putting structures in place. You will not see yield, I'm telling you tonight, in your life, in your marriage, your family, your career, in your studies. Check. Okay, let's be more practical. As a student, check the semester you decided that you're going to take your studies very serious. What happened to your grades? What happened to your grades? Amen. The same God they are serving, the same fasting and prayers, the same anointed pen, but different results. To tell neighbor, it's your responsibility. And then one of the responsibilities you must take is the capacity to build. To build. Let me be sincere with you. Your life will never be great if you don't cultivate the skills of a builder. You must learn the principle of building if you want to enjoy the benefits of prosperity. I like that, the way it sounds. Put it up somewhere. Post it on your status. You can't enjoy prosperity if you don't come in into the building system. If you don't understand systems, if you don't understand structures, if you don't understand capacity, you can't become anything in life. Greatness does not respond to feelings. Greatness does not respond to witches. Greatness does not respond to feelings, wishes, or I'm trying to remember another word. Doesn't respond to those things. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, I told you the other time, it doesn't even respond to declaration. When you finish saying, my business prospers, my business prospers, my business prospers, do you know the next thing you do? After you are finished making all those declarations, you call all your staff together. You call all your executives together. Okay, how can we reach the campus market? Are we together now? Are you following me? How can we reach this age group, demography? I read the book Good to Great, and that day I understood that you can decide today to be great, and tomorrow you will be great. all you need to do is to span your plans. All you need to do is to what? Is to have plans, but do what? Span it. Tell your neighbor, span your plans. That's what we need to learn. Good to great. Secrets of companies that have stayed for 100 years. I need some of you to read that book. That book. If you want to run a conglomerate, you want to become really, really great in life. Like, by the grace of God in your life, navigate your entire family from poverty, lack, and struggles. Go and read Good to Great. A number of you are spiritually sound, but you don't know how to plan and span. You pray in tongues, but you forget that the God who gave you tongue is a God who plans and who spans. Every step God takes is always a subset of the bigger plan. You didn't hear what I said. God, every step he takes, God does not take steps anyhow. Every step he takes is always a fragment, a subset of the what? Of the bigger plan. Ask your neighbor, do you have a bigger plan for your life? Now let me make it more practical. If somebody comes right now and puts 20 million in your hands for your business expansion, do you have a plan on ground? That's what we are saying. I mean, if you give some people 2 million right now, you will make them poorer than they were before you give them. The problem some people experienced in life was that they hit big. They just go somewhere and somebody gave them one big prize. Let's take for example, somebody came and just gave you, it's just like all of these people that goes and do Naira betting. These people that do betting, all these people that did Ponzi, MMM and the rest. Are you getting me? Where are most of them today? Those people that hit jackpots, Lotto. You know, sometimes you see on Facebook, you know, people just win 20 million. Where are they today? The reason is because it's not a one-time hit that guarantees a one-time greatness. It is consistently spanned steps taken with precision. You should write what I just said down. You don't become great by that one hit. You don't become great by that one, say, we just blow, boom. In the kingdom, we don't blow, we grow. Because if you blow, you will be controlled by the wind. And the wind of fame, the wind of ego, the wind of popularity will blow you away. No, see, you need to plan for success. Let me tell you something. Do you know that some of you right now, the kind of life you are wishing to live, you are praying to live, if God delivers it to you, you will destroy your destiny. No capacity. So you say, you know, the reason why some people just want to leave poverty is because of the pain of poverty. Am I correct? And poverty is really painful. But the truth is this. Let me be sincere with you. If it is only the pain of poverty that is powering your resolve to leave poverty, if wealth comes, the gain of wealth without capacity to contain it will be more damning than the pain of poverty. Go and read about people who were once wealthy, who were once really rich. They started out poor, they became rich. Some of them are broke. Broker than Brooklyn. Are you with me? The reason is because you don't become great by touching money. You become great by building structures. Structures. I would rather train people to build than put big money in people's hands. Because wealth, write these three things down: money, riches, and wealth. They are systems. They are systems. We believers need to tell ourselves the truth. Money, riches and wealth are what? They are systems. Riches are more powerful than money. And wealth is more powerful than what? Than riches. It's a system. Is that okay? There is a difference between selling the bag of rice and manufacturing the bag of rice. They are not the same. It's very easy for me to buy stuffs from her and trade it than for me to set up a system that produces those things she sells. So that's the capacity we are talking about. And God, in his wisdom and plans for your life, will not put on you more than what you can carry. So he wants your mind to build into the expanse of wealth he can commit to you. So that's why we must learn how to put structures. Tell neighbor, you must learn how to put structures. Put structures in place. So let me give you some fundamental principles that talks about structure. There are a few things I want to say. Number one, whatever you will become in the next 3 to 5 years' time is your decision. Whatever you become in the next 3 to 5 years' time. In other words, whatever future that you desire to feature in is your decision. You can become anything. You can become anything. Especially under God, you can become anything. Anything good, anything God. Let's put it that way. Let me not go away from the scope. Anything good, anything God, you can what? You can become. Take that from me. You can become anything good, anything God. Number two, someone said this and I'll quote. He said, the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. He said, but the second best time is when? Now. So don't live your life in the regret of decisions you didn't make yesterday. Ask yourself, what decisions can I make today, here and now? Number three, every resources for your progress is at your disposal. Every resources for your progress in life is at your disposal. And when I mean resources, a lot of you think that the resources you need in life is money, is loan from bank, no. Sometimes the most powerful resources you need to become great in life are the things that eyes can't see. Things like passion, things like diligence, things like discipline. Is that okay? Things like reading. There are some of you listening to me, you have done a lot since you were born to become great. I can recommend something to you. Tell yourself that in the next 2 months, I'm going to read 20 books. Your life will never remain the same after that 2 months. I bet you. It will never. Just decide. Discipline. Am I correct? It's the truth. Any aspect of life. Any aspect of life. Because you either run life by native intelligence, which are feelings, or you run life by principles. Can I say that again? You either run life by native intelligence, feelings. The day you feel like going to shop, you go. The day you feel like opening your business, the day you feel like praying, you pray. The day you feel like reading. If you run your life like that, you will not attain greatness. Because there is one characteristic, one of the characteristics of great people is that they have some things that they consistently do. They have some things that they consistently do. That is where their secret is. So if you really want to achieve greatness in life, you must look at the aspect of life you want to attain greatness in and determine what should I be doing in that aspect. So that decision of what to do is what we call structuring. That's what we call structuring. So structuring are both mental, spiritual, and physical systems we build up. Number one, to determine our progress, to carry out our progress, and then to see our progress. So write that down. Structures are those mental or spiritual or physical things we put in place, number one, to determine our success or greatness or result. And then the second one is to what? To act on it. And then the third is to what? Is to see it. Thinking plus action is what produces what? Results. That's how it works. That's the formula. The Bible says, and Isaac went to the field to meditate, and then when he lifted up his eyes, he saw the comet coming. Now listen to this. What it means is that your capacity to see clearly is determined by your commitment to sit down and plan. For example, in a few months and years from now, God is going to be increasing this ministry. God's going to be blessing. For some time now, in the last 3-4 years, we have been putting seed on the ground, laboring in prayers, doing a lot of things. So last year or thereabouts, I sat down and I began to look at, I said, okay, this is the vision. I was reading through the mandate. This is the vision. These are the peculiarities concerning the mandate. These are the challenges we have been experiencing. So I now sat down and I said, okay, let's assume we come into a boom season. Boom, like money, resources begin to come. People begin to send in so much money. What are we going to do? There's structure for what we're going to do. We know what we'll do. Is that okay? Now, the reason is because for the man that has a plan, success is not luck. Result is not luck. Result is an outcome. He said the laborer waits for the what? For the yield of the earth. So I want to challenge you. If you have crossed the age of 16, you should have a plan for your life. Are we together? You should have plan. Now, how do you plan? You plan, like I told you, all the resources are available at your disposal. So how do you plan? One of the first things you take note of in your planning is that time ticks. The clock ticks. Tick with the clock. There are no idle moments in life. So I learned to plan 2 years plan and 5 years plan. Is that okay? So you can plan in 2 years and you can plan in 5 years. So I plan 2 years are short term, 5 years are medium term, and then 15, 20 years are long term. Is that okay? I started taking ministry serious when I started working, and when I got the job, because I'd read and I've listened to a lot of teachings, he said that one of the easiest way to have a retirement plan is to determine when to retire from your job, not the job retiring you. For example, if you want to look at the aspect of career and job, you are working currently, you are earning salary, you should have a plan that at so-so age, I should what? I should retire. Glory to God. For example, I don't see myself still working at 45. I don't see myself still working at that age. I don't see myself. It's going to be really, really hard. And I will not be happy with myself if at 45 I'm still working and earning salary. At 45, I should have been able to put structures in place that should pay me without stress. That's how to plan your life. So, if you have that kind of mindset and you have started working, you need to put structures in place. Because you are not just going to wake up and say, oh, I'm 45 now, you're not resigned. Or you're not resigned. You're not resigned to poverty. God forbid, but are we together? Some of you are saying that, hey, what if God now says you should not resign? Maybe I've already told you, God already said I have blessed you. But the extent to which you can annex the blessing is what? It's your decision. You see, that's why, you see, some of you don't understand spirituality. You say, hey, but sir, no, calm down. You see, come and meet me and say, God said I should resign my work, or God said I should stop that business. God said, you if you come and meet me and tell me that kind of thing, I'll doubt your knowledge of God. Most of you think God is like a dream. You sleep and then you wake up. You start acting like a big fool. Sorry to use that word. If God wants you to resign the job, he would have, you and him would have had the discussion long ago. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's God. He plans and spans. It's just like, for example, you just come and meet me and said, okay, let's say Valim, Empire Clothing. You just come and meet me and say, Pastor, sir, God said next week I should close down my shop and relocate to Abuja. No, I will not allow him. It's your village people that wants to do you. God does not work that way. No, if God will need him to leave, God would have told him to start getting what? Even Ezekiah, when Ezekiah was to die, God had to tell him, say, you are dying, prepare your what? Your house. That's why we must get rid of this emotionalism most of you are having. Some of you are just emotional Christians. You just start a business, or you are learning a trade with someone, and then you are just going, Pastor, God said I should go and start my own business. You see, God does not work that way. If God will give you an instruction, he trusts that he has trained you to put structures in place. Did you not just read Genesis chapter 2? He said God did not allow rain. Why? Because there was no man. I can't tell you how many people have read their stories. There was one I was reading. He was working, doing very well, and then he came and said, God said he should resign the job and go and do ministry. Drag his entire family into poverty. And you're telling me, Pastor, God will not give that kind of instruction? If God will tell you to start a ministry, put emotionality aside. Some of them, is later they realize it was their emotions. Because if you've not been trained, you will not differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of your stupid emotion. Sorry to use that word. Because a lot of Christians, sometimes they look very foolish. You see a believer doing well in business, and then listens to one message, one preacher, just chat, want to do ministry, and then leave the job and then go and be begging people for money. And say it's faith, it's God that told them. No, sometimes it is stupidity. This thing is not spirituality. Are you with me? Because the God you are serving, the Jesus you are serving, I've showed you all the verses of scriptures. For Jesus, he grew. He called Jesus to do ministry. When Jesus was small, he said, the Spirit of God is upon me. Right from when he was small. But Jesus didn't start ministry when he was 30 years. Are we here? He didn't start ministry until he was 30 years. David, the anointing to be king, came on him at 17. He never ascended the throne until he was 30. There is a place of span in divine plan. Stop being a fool. Sit down with God. This thing you want me to do, how do you want me to go about it? Stop using somebody's testimony to make you want to say, this man left his job. You leave your job, you die jobless. I'm telling you the truth. I see some people, they just come and they say, God said, how do you want, when if God is saying, is it a God that does not put structures? The same God you are reading, he can say rain fall, but Bible says he did not allow rain to fall. Because if I send this rain, this thing will just be growing, everything will be a waste. So it means in God, there is always a first before the next. That's the principle of spanning and planning. So even if God will tell you, okay, I want you to have branches in different places, he will not just tell you to get up and start going to open shop. We heard up till now, not heard, I've seen. And a lot of these things are because of the version of Christianity that we are promoting in Nigeria. Somebody will just sit somewhere and says, we want to plant so number of church everywhere. I was reading about the progress of Pentecostalism. We honor what people do. Someone said church everywhere. And then people that don't even have training for church, they start going to be pastors. Some of them that could have been very good in ICT, they went to start leading prayer band. They are inside church now, banding and praying, prayer and banding. And yet their destiny is banned forever. Now it's church money they are stealing. They are stealing church money. Some of these big ministries that God has blessed, why are people going there now? People are going there to steal money. They are not going there to do ministry. I'm telling you the truth. This is the mic. I can't say a lot of things I hear. But that's the truth. The reason is because there's no structure in their life. It's somebody that is pressing their button. And like Paul, they have zeal without knowledge. Please don't have zeal without knowledge. Zeal without knowledge. You want to do ministry? What structures do you have? What structures do you have? Hey, he said, the fathers that started ministry, they started from zero. Look up, brother, wait. Those times those fathers started ministry and now it's not the same. The dynamics have changed. Tell anybody, dynamics have changed. And he said, but pastor, God has not changed. God has not changed, but the dynamics have changed. The way people will give that time is not now. How do you expect somebody to give to you? The person you are pastor is listening to like five preachers. Plus the one that do Holy Ghost fire 7:30 a.m. Plus the one that do mountain and deliverance 6:30. And all of them, after the service, they will call for seed. That time, there was no internet. So everybody will come to church. The devotion and loyalty was strong. Now, you can see a believer following you. He's following like five people. So if God bless him with 10,000, he wants to divide it. So the one that will come and meet you will just be peanuts that cannot even recharge your phone. So if you come and tell me, leave those things. God will never call you to do ministry and make you a liability. The first question I asked him when he called me was, God, should I leave my job? I took time to pray because I don't want to be a fool. Our family, wife and children, I'll take care of. Members of church, it's not up to 10. I close down everything. I come and sit down and be prophesying for people and be collecting money from them. When I can be running both schemes together, I can go to work in the morning, work till 12 and come to church, work till 6. And get salary from there and sponsor the work here. When the work grows, everything mature, we spread and do great things for God. This thing is common sense, but I don't know why it looks so difficult for some of us. I don't see a God that will render you useless because he wants to use you to do ministry. Get something doing. Put structures in your life. Put structure. Like I told you in Genesis 26, we didn't see where God told Isaac to go and farm. But Isaac knew that manna will not fall from heaven. And God has saw it. He said, this guy gets sense. The rain cannot be wasted. And look up, even the time Isaac went to sow, the heaven was shut. There was no rain. Hello? There was no rain. But Isaac still knew that, see, we can't be idle. The Bible says he sowed and the same what? The same here. Everybody saying Buhari government is hard. Buhari government is hard. Some people have bought their second car. Some people have finished building their house and saying Buhari government is hard. Tinubu government is hard. Let me be sincere with you. There is no government that will be easy. Because the prosperity of God's children is not determined by government regulation. Is determined by the yield they carry and their sense of responsibility. Their sense of responsibility. Are we together? Their sense of responsibility. So talking about ministry, I started by saying the first area in your life you must put structure is spirituality and what? And ministry. And you see, that's where a lot of kingdom citizens fall into the trap of mammon. When we are talking about putting structures around spirituality and ministry, it's very simple. Number one, understand that you are a minister, and your first life and your main life is to serve God's purpose on earth. So what does spirituality do? Spirituality will not teach you that, see, walk or do business, but put structures such that it will not pull down your ministry and your spirituality. That's what we are saying. That's what we are saying. Are you understanding me? So that is where the balance of what we call full-time ministry comes in, because there is a balance. You know, when I've talked now, does it mean that everybody that God called, they must go and look for a job? And I've seen people who got called, they went to job and the job took them away from the calling. Uh-huh. So we are not saying that because God has called you and you don't want to beg, so you go and look for a job. No, that's what we are saying. That's not what we are saying. We are saying that because God calls you, shouldn't make you redundant, shouldn't make you useless. Tell neighbor, partner with God. Ask him questions. So from the answers, what do you start doing? You start putting structures in place. So how do we, when we talk about ministry structures, what do we mean by ministry structures? For example, what kind of ministry has God called you into? What aspect of ministry? Are you a pioneer? Are you a supporting minister? These are questions you need to ask yourself. These are the things mentorship should do in your life. These are the things you ask your spiritual father, your mentor. I perceive that I'm a supportive minister now. As a supportive minister, it means you will not pioneer your work. You will not do your own work. Meaning you're going to be supporting someone's else's work. So a bulk of the strategies, the things will be initiated from the what? Person. Your own will just be to what? To implement. So meaning that if that kind of ministry is what you're going to do, you can still do other things and then be supporting. But you now tell yourself that I'm not going to take any job or do any business that will require full-time what? Attention. Because ministry is already a full-time vocation. That's why I opted for lecturing. Do you get it now? And if you check a number of ministers who eventually became, most of them were into academics. They started from classroom. Because one good thing about classroom is that it gives you what? Time. And it helps your brain to be what? Active. So we started up just, okay, let's be working. So from the job we are doing, we are learning what? Consistency. We are learning stewardship. Is that okay? So we close work around 2, around 12, around 4. And then we use the remaining time in the evening to what? To do ministry. Go out for evangelism. Is that okay? Then finish that. We come home and rest. We have Saturday and Sunday to our what? To ourselves. We have public holidays to ourselves. That's a structure for some people. That's a structure. For some, okay, they would partner with God. They would look at, okay, what can I do? Okay, set up a small business. But you see, one thing about business is that business is like a child. It requires plenty of attention. But most times, God will need you to start from there so that he can teach you what we call structuring. Because see, one thing about business is this. Business has a way of activating your selfishness. Let me explain. When you learn to manage business, you will now begin to see soul as God's business. The way you were so careful managing your business, God will now begin to do what we call parable and teach you that. See, you see how your business be when you don't get profit, it is paying you. That's how it is when you are doing ministry and souls are not turned over. Two things I'm grateful to God for was, one, the fact that I started up in academics, and two, at a point I started doing business. I did business for 2-3 years and I learned a lot of things. And one of the things I learned, sir, is this: without structure, there cannot be increase. I'm telling you, believers, look me well. Without structure, you can't see increase in anything. And I also understood what I'm telling you, that you can plan something today and in 5 years' time you operate in it. And then another thing I learned during business, doing business, was that sometimes internally you would think your business is not growing. But if you look at it from a panoramic view, you will see that, guy, you are doing well. So when we started church, and internally it looked like things were not working, that principle I learned in the business was what? Was holding me.
Another thing business taught me is the principle of recruitment. Your business cannot go forward further or larger or wider than the quality of heads you have in it. I like a lot of things doing business. That's what I was saying last Sunday. You can employ your church member to come and do your business and your business will scatter. I'm telling you the truth. You see, a lot of you think that success in life is emotion. Success does not respect emotion. For example, you go to the front of your company and you start crying. Ah, God, my business must not collapse. Your business can collapse. Because whatever you need to build, tears does not build anything. Are you here? Scripture said David wept until there was no strength again to what? Weep. But said the next thing, he said he inquired of God, should I pursue? Should I overtake? What did God tell him? When you don't clean your tears, you know, one good thing about tears is this: tears are good, but after you have finished crying, your eyes should open and go back and check that thing in your company that is pulling it down. You have gone to bring your brother and your sister to come and do your business for you. Your business will die. Even heaven will not resurrect it. It's the truth, because things respond to what? Principle. I began to learn a lot of things. So if I want to employ you in my business, I don't employ you because you are my church member. I employ you because you have the capacity to what? To do it. You have passion for my company. That's why sometimes when I've had a number of persons come, Christians, and say, the person I'm working with is like this, he's like that. Him, he doesn't like church. He's all like, there's something I always tell someone. I said, every businessman is selfish. Because if you are not selfish as a businessman, your business will die, they will bury it, and people will be telling you sorry. It's business. That's why one of the first things Jesus said, he said, wouldn't I go about my father's business? So for some of us, someone like me, God told me to stop business, to take ministry as business. So business, my ministry, my business now is what? It's ministry. And I have to be selfish about it. Because running business, I realize that some people are after the salary they want to collect at the end of the month. They are not after whether you sell or you don't sell. I'm telling you the truth. That's why, if you put people on salary and you are not smart to structure your business, you can be borrowing money to pay them. Because the only English they want to hear is that month end you pay salary. But if you now check startups, if you go to Lagos, there is something startups are doing now. Some of them, they don't put you on salary. They give you contract. And that's the thing. So that was what I started learning in business. That some kind of businesses that can survive on salary are businesses like schools that they pay rent, they pay fees. You understand? Do you understand? But there are some businesses, for example, like what you call a distribution. Maybe distribution, laundry. There are some businesses that will not survive on salary, especially at the startup. Because if you put the girl on salary, you'll just be sleeping and waking. Oh, God, go pay me when month end. But if you put him on contract, that's why you see banks. When banks started, you see most of them have become, they've broken even now. So those departments are not really the main. Now they have staff, they pay, and even if you don't go do marketing, you still get your salary. But some of them, when they started, it was contract they were giving people. They'll say, okay, go. As you go, they'll put a startup. They'll tell you, okay, but it will increase based on how many people you want. You bring. Are you getting what I'm talking about? So I began to realize that nobody can carry your work more than you. Do you get that? So that's why some of these people want to start ministry, start full time, so that they can go full length. Are you getting me? But when you start that way, it's because you understand to an extent what God is doing in your life. And even in that, God will still put some little things you can do, like farming. You can be rearing fowl somewhere, and they will be laying egg. So as your business is laying soul, your poultry will be laying egg.
You set the egg and you pay your school fee and sponsor yourself. God will never allow us to be redundant. Don't be redundant. Tell neighbor, don't be redundant. Some of these ministers, that's why you see, when I look at some of my folks and those younger than me, most of these people that you see started out full time, they had a lot of things they used to engage themselves. Some of them, they started writing. I know some of my pastor's friends that are into full time, one of the things they do, they started what? Writing. Some of them are active on the internet, producing content. Some of them generate YouTube views and all of those to generate what? Money. Because in ministry, if you are not generating money aside offering and tithes, your life may be tight. Is the truth? I'm telling you the truth. You know, we are talking about structure. Because I perceive that some of you here, after a while you do ministry, don't just run and just go and be foolish. Bible says, count the what? The cost. Sit down. Some of them, their wives are the wives they marry, they make sure I cancel a number of them. Say they are doing ministry food. Let your wife be working, you know, and go and be teaching in one school. Or let her be doing business, because now you go call, not be your wife. Glory to God. I'm telling you, these are truths. I'm telling you, I'll be your wife. God call now. You praise God. Like if your wife brings small, amen. The month when tithe not come, your wife will remove small money, take buy soap, take bath dominion. Hey, tell your neighbor balance. Hey, that's how it works. So, if that's at full time level, so now you are not even into full time. You are a supportive minister, or you are a steward, and you just say you want to be praying and waking up and studying Bible and praying and waking up and studying Bible and praying. Doesn't work that way. Glory to God. So as I close, what are the areas in your life you must put structures? I've talked about the spiritual aspect, ministry, and I've been able to explain some things. The summary of it is that whatever you are giving your time to should not take time and affect the other things. Because it's a structure. Is that okay? So one area of life should not pull down the other area. Is that okay? And the truth is this, for those of you that want to do ministry, let me tell you the truth, is that the yield of ministry, God designed it to come from the people that have benefited from your ministry. Yes. So one thing you don't do when you want to go into full-time ministry is to become a full-time lazy person. Invest in souls. Is that okay? Invest in what? In souls. Be doing discipleship. Are we together? There are benefits in ministry. There are yields in ministry. Don't allow anybody to deceive you. No matter the business you do as a pastor, no matter the business you do as an apostle, that business cannot sustain the ministry. The goal is to sustain it for a period of what? Time. Because you must plan and what? And span. Are you getting it now? That's how it works. That's the dynamics of the planning. So the reason why you are not idle is because the ministry is like a baby. It still cannot walk. It still cannot talk. So you have to be the one talking, and God has to be the one talking. So you and God has to be what? Talking. And there are some days God will not talk. So you have to use what you have put in place to what? To talk. If not, you'll be stuck. You don't understand what I'm saying? What I mean is that there are days in the ministry, there will be no offerings, there will be no tithes. But if, for example, you have eggs in the farm, you can go and what? Sell the eggs and pay your debts. You know, Elijah said, your servant, the woman came and said, my servant knew God was a prophet and yet he was in debt. And then the creditors have come to take one of my children. And then Elijah said, what do you have in your what? In your house. He said, except a jar of oil. Okay, bring it. Elijah did not increase the jar for her. Tell neighbor responsibility. I like when Archbishop Benson Indausa preached that sermon.
He said before that oil was there before the man died. Don't forget, I told you something earlier. You would only increase based on what you know and what you do with what you know. A lot of you have read books, you've not taken steps. Tell me about take steps. So the prophet told the woman, he said, you need to what? Take step. He said, now the first step you will take, go borrow more vessels. Everybody say increase capacity. In ministry, your prosperity comes in relation to the soul you are laboring over. It is these souls you are laboring over that will bring the yield. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's where the yield will come from. That's where the yield will come from. Jesus and Apostle Paul already told us. That's why potential pastors and apostles listening to me, if you want to start ministry, please, I beg you, fight disloyalty. I know I didn't learn my own late, but I wish I learned it earlier. Most people think the greatest enemy to ministry growth is spirit of religion or maybe persecution in the environment. No, it's disloyalty. Having people in your camp who are not passionate about imparting people. you will be laboring, your ministry will be in a spot. Have one person that can labor, because the yield is in those you are ministering to. Luke 8 verse 2 and 3. Including Mary Magdalene, out of whom he casted what? 7 demons. They were the ones that are sponsoring Jesus' ministry. And you think as a man of God, you are tampering with the souls I entrust to your hand, I will not be laughing with you? No way. Those souls are the yield of the ministry. If their hearts are turned away, they will not bring in their offerings. They will not bring in their seeds. That's the truth. I'm being plain and blank. I read Dagwood Mills. He was talking about how he built churches and those churches collapsed because he gave those churches to disloyal people. People that all they care about are their selfish interests. Never trust them. You will leave your work for them, your work will die. Because they are only after their interest. They are not after your interest. I was sharing with a young man of God, I want to start ministry. I said, see, labor over men. Protect your labor. Protect it. Spot those among you that are not ready to add souls. Don't see, you say, you know, one of the mistakes I made when I started ministry, I thought it was everybody that likes me that I should like. It's a trap. Some people only like you for your ministry to be stagnated, but some people like you for your ministry to expand. They just sit with you. How many souls have you brought to church? Zero. How many souls have you brought to church? Zero. And they are your best friend? No way. They shouldn't be your best friend. You will die poor as a pastor. You will die. Your congregation will never grow. My spiritual father told me. So I started changing how I relate with people. So you are not buying my loyalty. No, that is the loyalty itself. I shouldn't be loyal to someone who is not adding to the ministry. No, now it's simple arithmetic. Someone came to me and was saying, hey, why would you stop some people from sending some people out of the church? I asked her a question. I said, God bless you, man. Thank you for the question. I said, you are a businesswoman. I know that. I said, now, imagine you employ 2 staff and your business to them. One is inside receiving money. One is inside bringing customer. Then the one is outside bringing customer. The one that is outside that is supposed to lead customer to the one that will collect money stands and says, see, every product they are selling in this shop is fake. Go to the next shop. Every product they are selling here is fake. Go to the next shop. And you, the owner of the business, find out. What will you do to that sales girl? And she was looking at me. It's a simple question. Say, what will you do? And that's what disloyalty means in ministry. Whoever is not for us is against us. If you are running a ministry and people are not adding to your congregation, they are taking away. You measure their yield based on who they are bringing. The people that are bringing in the offerings and bringing in the support, somebody brought them to church. That's why it's as simple as that. But you know, when you talk about it, people will just be emotional. But it's not good now. It's not good, but it's killing the ministry. And then I began to read about church growth systems. And then I read where, Dagwood Mills was still saying it in that book. He said one of the ways they check who they ordained into pastoring in their church, I mean in his ministry, he said they check their tithe commitment. And listen to me. Now, it's while I was younger than this, I was like, ah, pastor, why will you do that? But it means a lot. Because the Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. It's simple. So check. So he now analyzed it. He said, check in people's life. What do they treasure mostly? Some treasure their family mostly. Check their life. How many of their family members have they connected to your life and your ministry? Because if their heart is with you, everyone they meet, they turn their heart towards you. It's simple. Absalom stood at the gate. People were coming to meet his father. Absalom would tell them, no, don't come. I will attend to the matter. David was in the palace, never knew of it. Joab did the same thing. Reduced the strength of David's men because he was after protecting his interest for the throne. So that's what we are saying. So when he said it, I began to analyze it, and it is the truth. It is the truth. Check people that have sacrificed so much for you. Even when you are pushing them away, when they remember the sacrifice, they don't want to go. Because the sacrifice was not coming because they liked your face. The sacrifices were coming because they saw something you were building. And by the grace upon their life, they believed they should build it with you. And so as long as that work is there, nothing will swerve their heart away. But look up. Some people are not here for that. Honestly. No, that's the bitter truth. Go and check your life. You know, I told you, we are talking about structures. When we come on Sunday, we look at relationships. So if you go and check your life, some people in your life, they should not even get your attention. They are just occupying unnecessary space in your life. As a matter of fact, they're increasing your depression. Call them right now that your school fee will expire tomorrow. That please, they should assist you with 10,000 naira. You'll see what they will do. Glory to God. If you can't trust people with what they do with their money, don't trust them with your ministry and assignment. They will handle your ministry. As believers, just see someone, you carry the person, roommate, and they say, I love this person. No, love is not an emotion. Love is a responsibility. If somebody comes into this house right now and wants to kill you, what will happen? Will the person run away and leave you behind? Or the person will insist that no. Say there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. As I began to grow old in life, I realized that one of the principles you need in life is loyalty. You need people that come hell or high waters. They will protect your interest, even it will affect their own interest. And you see those people, I was sharing with someone some days ago, I said, if you have those kind of people in your life, do everything to preserve them. Because they are the most VIPs in your life. Most of you don't know how to choose friends. The people you like are always the ones that comment on your post. I used to be like that. The ones that like your status, they're always coming to greet you. How are you? I say, ah, this one loves me because he speaks the language you want to hear. You are fine today. You are fine. You are looking good today. Those are feelings. You don't need people that compliment your ministry. You don't need me people that tell you, you are doing well, sir. There's a place where they should occupy your life. You don't bring them into your inner circle. You need people who tell you, sir, this ministry, the room we are is too small. Let's go and expand. Was that not what the sons of prophet told Elijah? You need people that can tell you there are potentials. You need people that can tell you, sir, this business you are doing. I was on call with one of my proteges, and I was telling her, I said, see, this book you have written, how will you print this copy? This book needs to go far. This book, see, you need people in your life who will not be sad that you are increasing. Because some people, they are witch. They are wizards. Tell them you have bought a new phone, their face will change. Tell them you have bought some, they just don't like seeing you progress. You have them, but you are petting them because somehow that the ones that will write plenty grammar during your birthday, That's the problem most of us have. I used to be there. I'm not there again. Because your life, the time you are giving to everyone in your life is your life. The time you check, what are you investing your life into? You sub data to just be chatting with people and say, you are a pretty girl, you are a pretty woman, you are a pretty sister, your picture is fine. You own all the data you are subscribing is just to put fine picture with borrowed Mary Kay, borrowed masks, and borrowed things, borrow from Regina to put one in the eye, borrow from Jane to put one in the ear, just borrow anything. And then you borrow data to post it on a borrow status. And then you are living a borrowed life because there is nothing in your life. That's why right now, if we call you that we need 5,000, you don't have chichi, nothing coming, because everything in your life are borrowed. And then you are liking people that are petting your borrowed lifestyle. You can take that data and go and register for a course. You can take that data and go and learn how to do. If it's tap, you can tap. But don't tap your destiny away. See, let me be sincere with you. Most of you think that people like you. But there's something I've come to realize in life. That if you make sacrifice to succeed, people will forgive you when you have succeeded. Because everybody wants to join hand with success. Nobody wants to associate themselves with failure. And that I listened to that message by Mas Moro. I was telling Pastor Victor. I said, see, most of you think that because you can pray in tongues, everybody will like you. No! 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 Everybody's going somewhere. People need results in their life. Nobody will need you if you don't have something to offer. You will die of depression. Nobody calls me. Why would they call you? Do you have anything to offer? The lashes that you use, you borrowed it from Regina. They know because they borrowed it before. See, Miles Moreau said it, that day things were vibrating in my inside. Some of you need to react to dysfunctionality. You need to react. You are lazy. You are idle. Nobody will call you if they know you don't have anything. Some people, they don't like the smell of your mouth, but they are still keeping you because some days they can still call you and tell you, please, I beg, send me data. Because everybody is running after their own life. And then you are there. Life, nothing. Nothing. In the afternoon, your landlady will still come and knock your door. Light bill. You don't have money to pay light bill. So because you don't have money to pay light bill, you are praying in tongues, she's angry. This one that is always disturbing my company is the one that will not even pay light bill. How do I know? Those Yao Yao guys are making money from stupid things that they will not give them house, they will not buy big car, they will not be making noise with go go in the compound, they will not tell them anything. You see how people are? They make go go disturbing the compound. After all, okay, landlord, you are saying your account, man, I just send you 10k for a charge card. Have you ever sent your landlord 500 naira for a charge card? So you're expecting your landlord to be happy that you are praying in tongues. They are disturbing him. See, I'm telling you, even if he's a pastor in church, everyone is looking for who have results. Listen, that's why people are doing everything to have something to show. If you cannot convert your spirituality into practical progress, you will be a liability to kingdom advancement. I'm telling you the truth. Even your colleagues, they are looking at you. And that's why I was sharing with someone. I said, see, believers, we must learn relationship. Your colleague in the office is not your friend. Your neighbor in the compound is not your friend. You don't have matches. It's your neighbor door you are going to knock. What kind of stupidity is that? Neighbor. Guy, if you borrow me salt, may you not live that kind of life. I pray for you. May you not live that kind of life. See, as poor as we were growing up, there were things our parents never did. Man, that is the highest level of C-finish. It's the highest level of C-finish. They are paying you salary with your colleague. You will take bike to work and tell your colleague to pay bike man. See, Akadusiata, stand up on your feet. There is a level in life we should get to and tell ourselves this spirituality thing should matter. It should.
It should. And I told the person, I said, that's why we are creating a safe space for the local church. Are you hearing me? That's why we are creating a safe space in the local church. If I understand our loyalty to kingdom advancement, our heart for God, I would rather call her that I have not eaten than call my colleague to call it I collect IOU. I'm telling you the truth. Hello? And that's why we are telling you, give yourself to spirituality. I remember one day, I think it was Faith also, I gave her some money and I was asking her for the money and she said something that shocked me. She said, that money you gave me, I saw someone that needed it more and I gave the person. That is the community we are creating. That before I will carry money and go and buy some things that are useless, I will ask God, God, perhaps there's someone in the community that what? That needs it more. That's why we are putting structures. Paul said, let him that steal, steal no more. He said, let him go and start working with his hands for two reasons. Number one, to feed himself. And for number two, to give to people that have needs. That is how the kingdom runs. So the size of our greatness now, we are not praying God for what to eat. We are praying God for what to distribute. So even before Margaret will leave service, already planning to go and buy borrow matches from his neighbor, Valin can perceive it in the spirit and said, Margaret, take this 1,000 naira. And Margaret will buy matches and save the kingdom and his family the reproach from borrowing matches from the reproached. Some of you don't know that you are bringing curse and reproach to the kingdom when you go and be begging some kind of people. Some kind of people. Right now you have believers as friends. You have Yahweh, Yahweh as friends. You are stylishly begging them money. You hate the spirit behind the money, but you like the sense that the alert brings to your account. Those are the kind of people that will come and say, I would rather go and beg somebody outside than beg a brother in church. Listen to this. We will not rather beg someone outside. We will train the system to understand that if he walks up to me for a need, it's not because he is poor. It's because of the law of distribution that is at work in the house. And I will honorably be obliged. Honorably. It is ungodliness for a brother in church to request things from you and you are going out to tell your classmates and your roommate, sit down. I'll beg in the beg. A brother in church, you are putting a covering, a lid, and a resistance to the expanse of your prosperity. Because whether you accept it or not, it's not everybody in the church that will be big. It's not everybody that will have surplus. There are people God will give surplus so that they can add to those that have little. According to Paul, so that there will be equality. We need to renew our mind. That is the balance. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, help me to put structures in my life. Help me. We'll still pray that prayer. We'll pray it on Sunday. I will still pray it again. Help me, Lord, to put structures in my life. Help me. Help me. Help me. Open my eyes to see areas where I need to put structures. Help me to see those areas. Amen. Take up your notes. There are seven spiritual, stroke ministry, structure. When we come on Sunday, we talk about relationship structure, vocation and career structures, financial structures, health structures, family life and marriage structures, skill acquiring structures. How many? 7 are the areas you must put structures in. Number 1, spirituality and ministry structures. Number 2, relationship structures, in brackets, social life. Number 3, job and what? And vocation and career structures. Vocation and career structures. Number 4, financial structures. I told you some weeks ago, go and read books about money. Read books about money. You will know the importance of goal setting. You know the importance of span. You know the importance of building capacity. Which other aspect? Health structures. Some of you need to reduce the food you eat. Some things you are eating are damaging your life. Just like me, God is helping me to run away from coke, even though it's not easy. But we'll win. Amen. We are winning. Glory to God. We'll run away from coke. You are still falling in love with coke. Hey, stop it. Or you are still taking alcohol in excess quantity. Or you are smoking. Destroying your life. Health structures. You eat. 11, you are still eating meat. We'll come to that. Don't worry. We'll come to that. And then the next one is what? Family life and marriage. Family life and marriage. Before you get to 25, you should be able to, by understanding and training, know the kind of woman you should marry, the kind of man you should marry. And then lastly, skill acquiring structures. You see, the first and last are core because they are the pillars that hold the remaining. You can't become anything better than the skills you are acquiring. You need to acquire skills. Lift your hands and say, Lord, help me to build structures around these areas of my life. We continue on Sunday. Please don't miss this series. And if I were you, I would download it and share with my friends. Encourage them to connect on Sunday again. We're going to be looking at practical things when we come on Sunday. Lift your hands and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Help me to plan and to span. Help me to project. There are some people, they already know what the next 5 years should be in their business. There's a capacity of the Spirit that makes that possible. Are you praying? These are practical areas of responsibility. By the time we are done with this series, every one of us will find where we belong. And we are doing something to help life and to help others. Lay your hands on your tummy and say, I am not a fruitless tree. I am not barren. My life is a living spring. My life is a living spring. My life is a living spring. My life is bearing fruit. I know what to do and how to do it. I know what to do and how to do it. I know the skills to acquire and training to get. I'm helped by grace. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Can we rejoice? I mean, rejoice!